It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, presented by KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, the Keystone Sports app. Dustin Hawksmith back here one more time with Andrew Pichet. We are meeting Penn State's 2018 recruiting class.
We are.
We're talking about this before the Rasheed Walker decision, before the Solomon Enos decision. But we are mostly complete with information in this class. This segment has little to do with Rasheed Walker. We're talking offensive linemen and defensive linemen in this class. And I think that, especially in the D-line, you mentioned it in the previous segment, how much you like P.J. Mustipher. I'm a big P.J. Mustipher fan as well, the four-star defensive tackle from Maryland. But this class as a whole, you know, there are some really good players on the defensive line. They needed them more so inside to get another stud in the defensive tackle rotation for the second cycle in a row. Can't be understated. The importance cannot be understated. Correct. Because, you know, in the 2014, 15, 16 classes, they just didn't get there for whatever reason. There were all kinds of different reasons.
Hardest position to recruit.
I'm not going to lie to you.
I think it is the single hardest position.
You don't do it in bulk, nope. Right? And it's a power position. It's a position that requires growth.
There's not a lot of them out there. It's the hardest position.
Penn State got a good one who is pretty physically ready now. I also am a big fan of Aeneas Hawkins, who at 265 pounds, he requires a little bit of growth. Yet you need to get him in the 290 plus range. So for that reason, I think he flew under the radar a little bit. But he's got some NFL in his family bloodlines, and he's a really good player. Judge Culpepper is 6'5", 260, but his frame is enormous.
I think he's an inside guy for sure.
He will be 6'5", 290 in no time whatsoever.
Right. Just your push. He's a pusher.
Yeah.
Because as a defensive end, he's a wide defensive end, but he's not a blazer. But he's got some athleticism, but inside on a bigger frame, just your job is to just make a push and defend the run. Make a push and defend the run. And I think over time, over a couple years, that is a role for him. And I think he sees the way Penn State plays defense, that there is a role for him in that.
And so the defensive tackles here, I think Culpepper and Hawkins both require some projection with their frames. And when you require some projection with your frame, you don't really get mass amounts of love on a national level.
Correct.
And so I think this trio, assuming Judge Culpepper moves inside, I think it's a pretty safe assumption because he's a big, big dude now.
The frame that James Franklin loves, he always talks about, I love frames. He loves his big frames and because it gives him the versatility.
And that length can be a problem for people inside.
Absolutely.
So this trio here, they arrive at a good time because Penn State's losing some guys and their rotation's getting a little bit more shallow. Fred Hansard, I think, will be able to jump in there. He was another guy in last year's recruiting cycle that was 310 plus pounds as a high school player. So he needed to reshape his body a little bit. P.J. Mustipher at 290 right now, with he doesn't look 290. He doesn't move 290. So your eyes can deceive you if you watch tape of him. He has 290 pounds. Uses his hands extremely well. Understands leverage. He's a really good wrestler. So in those one-on-one battles in the trenches where it's, you know, your leverage versus the offensive lineman's leverage, he's going to win some of those, even if he were to play as a true freshman. That's what I'm excited to see, whether he does or does not.
He's great because he's a wrestler. Sometimes on defensive line on the inside, they call it hand-to-hand combat, and they don't mean that by the physical part of it. They literally mean the offensive lineman's hands against the defensive lineman's hands and who's going to win the leverage battle. And the hands are everything. Yeah. The hands are the first key in today's, you know, major college football game to moving the needle in terms of being able to win that battle. And his hand-to-hand is really Mustipher's hand-to-hand combat is very, very good. And I don't mean like the physical grinding warfare part, but this is the first talent acquisition for James Franklin and his coaching staff along the defensive line that you could say is outstanding and possibly borderline elite down the road.
Yeah.
And in the process of this being one of the more difficult positions to recruit, he's already sort of changed the game a little bit by landing some of these guys. Now it's up to, you know, new associate head coach, head of the dog pound at Penn State, you know, the Wild Dogs. It's up to Sean Spencer. And yeah, I'd give that guy a chance of turning already something special into something really, really special, but don't expect to see it right away. You talked about Hansard. It's his time to play 10, 11 games, you know, 12, 15 snaps, 10 snaps a game, and see what you're cooking with. It's that time for him. And I think these guys might get a little nip here, especially Mustafa. He might be a green light guy. I know they don't do that a whole lot anymore out of because they don't have to.
Yeah.
But he might be one of those guys like Yetur Gross-Matos that you just simply can't keep off the field.
I think college football is moving to a time where you're burning red shirts at an accelerated rate. Alabama was proof. You know, Ohio State is proof.
Penn State's proof.
It almost runs counter to what you would think, but the more elite you are, the faster you're burning through red shirts.
James did it out of necessity in the beginning. He wasn't afraid of it. And that's sort of one of the things that I think is subtly outstanding about him as a recruiter slash CEO slash head coach is I think he's a half a step ahead of the game sometimes because he's not so bogged down in, you know, the day-to-day, you know, being the head coach. He kind of is a visionary. He burned him out of necessity in the beginning because he had to get the best players on the field. But he's still not afraid to do it because he knows that if they're that good, that's the college game today.
I thought Yetur Gross-Matos was an interesting one this past year, but you see all the tools there. And on that defensive line, Penn State's loaded up with some young guys who are going to be part of that rotation for sure. And then you add, I think Micah Parsons, is he going to see the most snaps in his college career as a defensive end or an outside linebacker, as a middle linebacker? If he starts a middle linebacker, how does the transition work? There's a lot of questions that he's such a good athlete that these are good questions, I think, to have.
These are good questions, and I can't tell you what I know and think of him at the next level in terms – here's the bottom line. Real quick in a nutshell, I think he gets paid to play professional football as a defensive end.
Or an outside linebacker, an edge rusher.
I think he's a rush end. Yeah. I think he's an edge rush end.
Well, you saw at the Army All-America Bowl, the
snippets.
Bend.
Yeah, the bend.
It's the stuff that you can't teach.
The first step and the bend combo, you can't teach.
Relentlessness,
you cannot teach that. Now, the interesting thing was against – which I found watching him as a senior in high school, the very first game when they played Imhotep Charter, another good, really good Pennsylvania football team. Early second quarter, he's impacting the game. Like, he's wrecking Imhotep's offense from the defensive end position in the first quarter. I mean, literally wrecking him. Imhotep, being another good team, was not afraid to go at him. They played their regular football game. He was wrecking them. And then they start the second quarter, and he's at middle linebacker. And I'm standing there thinking, why is he at middle linebacker? And then he played middle linebacker.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, he can wreck a game here too.
Yeah.
Like, he's wrecking Imhotep's offense at two different positions in the first half as Harrisburg's building a mercy rule lead against a really good football team that went on to the state championship. And I'm like, that is Micah Parsons. So I think Penn State can put him wherever they need him. Wherever their biggest need is, that's where he's going to go first.
And, yeah, we'll see. I think you have to trust James Franklin to, you know, I think there's questions for me whether filling the need versus fulfilling his utmost potential. You know, how do you balance those things? Jason Owe, another defensive end. We want to talk offensive lineman here too, but Shane Simmons is a good comparison for him. I think Jason Owe is more dynamic of an athlete than Shane Simmons. A little bit more raw, but the same situation where he needs to bulk up from 230 pounds. He needs, and I don't think it's just the weight. I think he needs to be a lot stronger. And for that reason, you know, probably a redshirt guy this year. Just like Shane Simmons, when he gets on the field as a redshirt freshman, you can see that he wasn't quite ready to make his biggest impact yet.
He hasn't made the full leap.
Stronger. Yeah,
right. He hasn't made the full leap.
I can see the same trajectory for Jason Owe.
I think Jason Owe makes a full leap quicker than a guy like Shane Simmons. I think his ceiling is a little higher sooner, but I think his full leap might come where this year we're still kind of, we got a good glimpse of Shane Simmons, but we know, you saw him late in the year, okay, there's another level.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see that, you're not going to see that full season of, oh, okay, now I see it. I think Owe has the potential to go there quicker.
Owe, a huge get late in the cycle for Penn State.
Yeah, huge.
Three offensive linemen so far, Andy. We are recording this before Rashid Walker does or does not commit. It's Penn State or Ohio State for him. He's an important guy in this group. But if he were to join, this is a great group. If he were to not, Penn State is getting a good collection of guys here. So Nana Asidu, who weighs 265 pounds, he moves like a tight end does. There's stuff that you can't teach there. There's going to be a transition for him to add weight and to figure things out a little bit on the raw side yet. But maybe for, in terms of just raw potential, the best offensive line prospect of the James Franklin era, or the best offensive tackle prospect of the James Franklin era. He's up there for sure. Frederick Juice Scruggs from Erie Cathedral Prep, who you mentioned earlier, looks like a potential heir apparent to Connor McGovern at center. And then I would say Bryce Effner, the three-star tackle from Illinois. I think for a lot of people, he's the guy who people are scratching their heads. They don't know. They don't see. At 6'5", 285, I think there's some length. There's some intriguing skills there. But he's the guy, and maybe he's the next Will Fries. Maybe he's the guy that Penn State liked more than pundits did, more than fans could possibly grasp, who develops quickly and makes something of himself.
So do you see Nana as a left tackle or a right tackle? I wanted to ask. See him as a left tackle.
Yeah, I think his skill, he has premium core skills.
Right.
And so it's just a matter of development, and that's where the variables are. How does he move when he gains 25 pounds?
I see him on the field first as a right tackle, believe it or not.
And that's why I see him making shy. The –
No.
Not shy about that.
They're not afraid to move him.
Yeah.
And I think it's – we haven't seen – you know, Lime Grover develop the elites into greats. They've gotten a little bit better. But I think you saw the first level of him as a coach because he's taken some guys who were off the radar, Chaz Wright, Steven Gonzalez, and they have developed into starters, contributors, regulars, et cetera, et cetera. That's one level. Now he's got to take a little bit as getting him a little bit more higher talent. Now he's got to take it to the. He's got to take them and do the same thing.
Yeah, we'll see. It's good. It's a good situation to be in for Penn State. All right, that's it for our quarter number two here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're going to talk plenty more about Penn State's 2018 recruiting class, so stick around.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.
You trust AAA to work at every mile. But AAA doesn't just cover your car. They can also cover your home. AAA Home Insurance protects every square foot. And when you add AAA Home Insurance to AAA Auto Insurance, you get more protection and more savings. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent today or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA Home Insurance.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-L-O-N-G.